Chapter 18, Eternal Judgment. We have considered the mortality and death of the body as a result of the entrance of sin into the world. Many think lightly of death and seem to regard it as an end of their existence. They look upon it as something inevitable and dismiss it with indifference, saying, "We shall only die once." While this is a truth, it is not true in the sense in which they mean it, as though that was the end of the matter, and they ignore or are willingly ignorant of the scripture which says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment," Hebrews 9, verse 27. There is to be a final and unalterable judgment. And as we have mentioned already, the body which has died will be raised again from the dead and made to partake of this judgment as well as the immortal soul. There are many things which seem to pass unjudged in this life, many oppressions, many unrighteous and cruel acts, fearful heresies and blasphemies, all manner of wickedness, and on the other hand, many acts of love and kindness, as well as of faithfulness to the cause and truth of God, which seem to pass unnoticed. But there is a day coming in which all these things will be put right, and it will be seen that nothing, either of good or evil, has been unnoticed or passed by. In this life, the godly are the most afflicted, and suffer the most evil and tribulation, while the ungodly prosper in all their ways, and have all that heart could wish. But there is to be a day of final judgment, in which the Lord will vindicate his righteous character by dealing out to the wicked their just desert and rewarding the true believer with eternal life. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth, Psalm 96, verse 13. The last and great day of judgment is clearly set forth in the scripture, and the nature of it is solemnly described. From them it is evident that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be the judge, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17, verse 31. So Paul spoke to the Athenians, and again he speaks to the Romans of the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Romans 2, verse 16. It is evident that he is yet to come again from heaven for this purpose and to gather his saints together to himself. When the disciples watched him ascend up to heaven from their midst, they were comforted with the assurance that he would come again. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1 verse 11. He is to come only once more, and therefore it is called his second coming. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9, verse 28. He will come as a thief in the night, and no man knows when the day shall be, only his Father in heaven. Men and women will, for the most part, be fully occupied with the things of this world, just as it was in the days of Noah. They will marry and be given in marriage, buy and sell. But sudden destruction will come on the earth, as the flood overtook all in those days. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Revelations 1, verse 7. It would seem that it will be a day when the things of God are little known in the earth, for it is questioned whether the Son of Man shall find faith on the earth, when he comes. As in the days of Noah, and there were few found possessing true faith, only himself and his household being saved from the great overthrow. The world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. The destruction will be by fire instead of water, for the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. 2 Peter 3, verses 6 through 12. He will not come in a condition of humiliation as at his first coming, for he is now exalted at the right hand of God, and will come in all the glory and majesty of his power as king in Zion, attended by hosts of angels, and with the sounding of the last trump. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 10. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Matthew 25, 31 and 32. Nor shall he come with the weight of his people's sins upon him, for these he bore away upon the cross, having made an end of them, so that he shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. It is clear also that at this great day of his second coming, his own people, his sheep, all whose names are written in the book of life and of the Lamb, will be forever set free from all their sins and transgressions, delivered from the law and its condemning power, and openly declared just and righteous, all through the atoning sacrifice and righteous obedience of their Lord and Savior, while all those who have not been brought to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but have died in their sins and not in faith, will be condemned out of the books which shall then be opened. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, and verses 11 through 15. Those who are blessed with a living, saving, God-given faith in the gospel of Christ are eternally delivered from all condemnation, and enter upon the eternal inheritance prepared for them, while all the rest are condemned according to their works, which, being devoid of faith, are only sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Yet the reality of the faith of the one and the absence or falsity of faith in the other is manifested by their works, as is evident from the description of the last judgment given by the Lord himself. All nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. He will then declare how the faith of the former worked by love, and was manifest by their love to the brethren, in giving meat to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, and clothing to the naked, and visiting those who were sick or in prison under the persecution of their enemies, all which he considers as if done to himself. To them he shall say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The lack of true faith in the others was manifest by their lack of love to the people of God, and their consequent walk toward them in not doing the things mentioned. To these he will say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25:31-46. So there are but two states set forth in the scriptures, heaven or hell, eternal life or everlasting punishment. And this will discover the lying conception of the Papists, who have introduced a third or intermediate state, which they call purgatory. Oh, the wickedness of thus deceiving the souls of men, promising that which is nowhere to be found in the scriptures, and what is worse, making unholy merchandise of them thereby. Oh, the money that has been amassed into the coffers of popery by this delusion of lies, persuading men and women that by paying sums of money they can buy the souls of their friends or relatives out of this conjectured purgatory. On the contrary, it is plain that after death the soul must immediately enter into one of these two states, heaven or hell. This is clear from the parable of Lazarus and the rich man Dives. The beggar Lazarus died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is in heaven. The rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Moreover, it was impossible to go from one place to the other, as Abraham said to the rich man, Between us and you, and there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Luke 16:20-26. So also the soul of the dying thief went into paradise the same day that he died. To one or other of these two places, then, the souls of all must depart at death. But at the last day, the bodies which have been buried will be raised again to join the souls there. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then they which are alive and remain in the earth that is coming shall be caught up together with them that are raised again in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. Hence, some shall awake to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:2. We are told somewhat of heaven, and what it will be to be there, but it is altogether beyond our conception. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3:21. We know There will be no sin there, for nothing shall enter that defileth. Also, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. The city of the heavenly Jerusalem is metaphorically described as being of pure gold, like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones, 12 in number, and bearing the names of the 12 apostles. There were also 12 gates, each made of pearl, and having thereon the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The city had no need of the sun nor moon, for the glory of the Lord shines there, and the Lamb is the light thereof. On the other hand, hell is spoken of as outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There the fire of God's wrath shall not be quenched, nor shall the gnawing worm of conscience die. Therefore it is called the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. We are told, therefore, to watch and pray, for we know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh, whether it be at his coming at death or at the last day. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24, verse 44. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3, verses 11 through 14.